Hey, Shelly here, and welcome back to Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned podcast, where I interview women over 50 who've had amazing life transformations to help inspire you to create and live a life you love. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. I am Shelly, your host. Thank you for joining me. If you are a new listener, welcome. And if you're a returning listener, you know how much I love your support. My interview today is with Carol Hansen of Awesome Women with Style. She's been a guest before. She's a great guest. Today, we talk about fast fashion and sustainability in fashion. Carol is on a mission not only to help women feel more confident with their wardrobe, but to also teach us, show us, the effects that fast fashion that is not sustainable has on the environment and also on the third world countries that often many of them depend on this to make a living. So how do we balance that? You will find more information about Carol down in the show notes. Find her on Facebook, on her website. She's starting a membership site soon, which I think is going to be brilliant. So hop on that. Okay, here is my interview with Carol. Super exciting to have you back on the podcast. I think you're a delightful guest with lots of knowledge in a world I knew nothing about until our first interview. But you wanted to talk today to, you had sent me a message about this this accident at a garment factory in Bangladesh, and you know a lot about fast fashion and sustainability in fashion, and I don't think it's really a topic that we talk about. But since the last time I chatted with you, I really started thinking about a lot of things that you had said. So let's have a conversation. What do we need to know about this sustainability in fashion and all that good stuff?
I think let's go back to Rana Plaza, because that was a big wake up call for a lot of people, even though I don't think the news got quite as far as it should have done around the world. There have been other sort of disasters, industrial disasters within the fashion industry, just there have been other disastrous industrial disasters in other industries. But Rana Plaza was a particularly poignant moment where in April 2013, it was a space of about 5 or 6 minutes, a factory was completely destroyed. It collapsed. This was in the middle of Bangladesh. It was a 6 or 7 story building and it just literally collapsed.
Oh my goodness.
It killed, I think it was 1,138 workers who were trapped and injured another 2,500.
Okay, let's
of course, in a country.
You had sent this message, but I did not hear anything about that. I had no idea about that. That is what, oh my gosh, that's a lot of people. Holy hell of crap.
and we are talking about a country that doesn't have the same kind of benefit system
right.
that we might have here in the UK, or the support you might have in the US. And so there are still families fighting today to get compensation for people lost or people injured. When they started, it took obviously a long time to sift through the rubble with the rescue workers and so on. And what they discovered was that factory, first of all, had been manufacturing garments for a number of fast fashion retailers. So, paying very low wages, so people were not being paid properly. But also the main thing was that the building wasn't being maintained properly. And so that's why the building collapsed in the first place.
Can I interrupt you for a second? And for the people who don't know, what is fast fashion?
Okay, so fast fashion originated in, there's not a particular date, but it was around the 1980s. And the company that really promoted it and got established, first of all, was Zara. And that was in New York. Zara came to New York, and Zara is part of a bigger company called Inditex. They came to New York and they claimed that they could get garments from design to being in store within 14 days. So, yeah, that's a very short window.
Wow.
When you think about the traditional sort of garment manufacture cycle, it used to be, when you and I were younger, you used to have two collections a year. You would have an autumn winter collection, you would have a spring summer collection.
I had a collection my mom made me on her sewing machine.
Oh, lovely, Shelley.
Yeah. My mom made my clothes for lots of years. So
But the point was that you didn't go expecting there to be new clothes in the shops every week,
right,
different styles.
Right,
right. And those styles would have been designed months in advance, shown on fashion shows or in buyers' showrooms and stuff like that. But as I said, it was Inditex that really set the ball rolling in New York by saying, right, we can get them from... basically from design to store, 2 weeks. And so they created this concept of fast fashion. Of course, many retailers have followed in their footsteps. You have big retailers in the US, Walmart, Target, for example, and I'm sure more fashion-orientated retailers who churn out very cheap clothing and very many different designs and styles. You're always seeing new things appearing. Forever 21 is another US retailer that was producing fast fashion. I think they're certainly in very big financial difficulties at the moment. And so in order to produce fashion that quickly and that cheaply, you've got to cut corners. And the biggest corners that were being cut were quality in terms of the fabrics that are being used, and then the labor cost, and the manufacturing cost generally. And then of course it gets to consumers, and because the quality isn't great, then the products don't last. And you also get into this mindset of, well, there'll be a new design in the shops next week, so it doesn't really need to last because I can go and buy something new because it's affordable. I can have that bright, shiny new object every week. I can always be in a different outfit. And of course, that isn't sustainable in a world that has finite resources. It's not sustainable on so many levels, because you're creating in order to create the products in the first place, you've got two main sources of fabric that are used. You've got polyester, which is made from oil and fossil fuels, and you've got cotton is an extremely water hungry plant to start with, and it's often grown in dry in areas, so it has to be irrigated, and uses an awful lot of pesticides as well. Again, not great for the environment. Then you've got waste taking place at every stage of the production process, from the stage where the products are first, go into the cutting room and are cut out. Because if your mum was a dressmaker, so you'd understand that when you put a pattern onto a piece of fabric, you don't use all of the fabric.
Right,
you know, there are trimmings and offcuts left over. So that's the first thing of waste, and then you've got the fact that in order to get to these cheap prices, a lot of the times the brands are having to buy in high quantities. They don't know what they're going to sell, but they're just buying in big quantities because we all know there's economies of scale. And so then you get waste because not all of the fashion is being consumed. So you've got an end of a season, and this came out with some of the big brands a couple of years ago, is a big scandal. You've got people, brands incinerating stock, so burning stock, because they don't want it devalued by discounting it any further.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
This incineration and landfill is known within the fashion industry. And then, of course, you've got the waste that takes place and the pollution that takes place once it gets into consumers' hands. And the first thing with that is our laundry. Every time we wash clothes, then if we're washing them in a washing machine, you're creating friction. So you get shedding of fibers. That then ends up as microfibers getting through the water supply, ends up, they've now discovered microfibers in the Arctic that have come from seas around the US and the UK. So again, we're creating problems there. And then you've also got this other problem of creating this waste of clothes that we no want, which, particularly with the younger generation, are masses of cheap, poor quality clothing.
So you've got this system then that's doing this fast fashion. We're like, okay, we're going to get this, we're going to get a new dress style in the store every 2 weeks. That's what then leads to these factories just churning and churning and literally burning, because they've got to get these products out. And then that's what, led to the Bangladesh disaster. Oh.
Absolutely. And as a result of that disaster, this is when a campaigning group started here in the UK called Fashion Revolution and started to create a lot more awareness around it to help people to understand, because a lot of people don't want to understand, number one, because we don't like change, do we? And we find change difficult. And when it's something personal as well, something that we enjoy, we're more reluctant to change. If we enjoy having a new outfit every week, changing those habits is, it's interfering with our personal desires. So you've got that element to it. So we've been burying our heads in it. Retailers want us to bury our heads about it because they make money by churning more and more garments out. So it suits them. So overall, yeah, you've got this impossible situation that we've got to put a brake on. And some people are putting a brake on it. There are some good things happening out there. But it needs a much bigger shift. And in my opinion, it needs to shift from top down and bottom up. You're not going to get an overall change in this just by consumers making changes to their habits. I mean, that will make some changes, but you're not going to get wholesale changes coming out of that. You're not going to get overall change from if you just put regulation at the top of the agenda, because you've got such a diverse industry that is global. So how on earth do you regulate that globally? It's really difficult, as we've seen with even within the climate, with the Paris Agreement and stuff like this, of trying to get overall change. And then you've got countries as well, like Bangladesh, that rely on the garment industry as their main gross domestic product. So we have to have a solution that works for everyone.
So yeah, that could create a real conundrum for those people that actually rely on that, even though it's a dangerous situation to be in. I was thinking while you were talking, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately. My mom would made my clothes for quite a while. In fact, I have a picture of me, I think, when I was a sophomore in high school, this outfit that my mom made. That's 1970, I don't know, five or something like that. I don't know when it was. But anyway, we would take her scraps when we were younger and we would make our doll clothes with them. So I think it, and I think it's a real opportunity for women in particular our age, because we grew up with, like, I grew up on a farm. We milked our own cow. I'm not everyone did this, but my, we did more hands-on stuff than we didn't have a microwave. We didn't have Netflix. We didn't have, we grew our own potatoes. We butchered our own chickens and things like that. We made Barbie doll clothes from, matching outfits. So I think people, I have forgotten those roots for myself. And I think then a lot of people don't even know about those kind of things. So they, when you talk about clothes to them, I mean, they're like, well, I don't know. I don't know. They just show up in the store, just like my ground beef shows up in the store. That's all they know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
And
changing.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And you know, we've seen this in the food industry as well, haven't we, with highly processed foods, and so many people not really knowing about nutritional qualities of foods and cooking from scratch, cooking from raw ingredients and stuff like that. So we've had to have another mindset change over that as
Yeah.
well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think there is an element of our generation needing to basically revisit what we had, and to help educate younger generations. Just as, I mean, within sort of the design circles, there's a great encouragement within fashion design now for younger designers to work on a more sustainable level. But then there's also the side in terms of brands and stuff like that, where there's an awful lot of what's called greenwashing going on too. So greenwashing is when they appear to have better eco or green credentials than they really do. Let me just give you a couple of examples of that. You see sometimes now products, and particularly activewear, made from recycled polyester. Very often that polyester is actually plastic bottles that have been PET bottles that have been then broken down to be able to then be woven as polyester yarn. The problem with that is that's what's called open loop recycling. So that means that when you've made that polyester top, then when that reaches the end of its life, you can't then recycle it again. But if you'd continued to recycle it as a plastic bottle, you could have continued to have recycled it as a
Okay, I
plastic
see what you're
bottle.
saying now. Okay, so like, yeah, once if you recycle it into something other than what it is, it's the end of the cycle for that. Okay, yeah, I did not know that. I didn't know that.
No, and not many people do, again, because brands, and particularly within sports, you know, sports and activewear, this is a big thing within sports and activewear. They want you to think that they've got great green credentials because they've got recycled polyester going on in there. And in fact, it's not so great.
Oh, well, I'm
So,
going to be on the lookout for that.
yeah.
No idea. No idea. Seriously.
No, exactly. And so, and also you've got some brands that also have a conscious collection, as they call it, within their brand. So they promote the fact that they've got this amazing conscious collection. It's eco-friendly, the rest of it. When you start going through it, like it's with a fine-tooth comb, what you actually find is there's only a percentage of the fabrics that are actually, you know, being reused fabrics, recycled fabrics, regenerated fabrics, or organic cotton. But the rest of their range of thousands of products is still not part of that conscious collection.
Yeah.
So again, you've got someone trying to pull the wool over your eyes about something that is, you know, giving us the consumer who doesn't have a lot of time, most of us don't, to do the research properly and to understand what's going on.
Happens in everything, and it's a whole
It
nother
does.
topic we do about advertising. And so, yeah, we, you know, the more you know, like for example, in the recycling loop and when it stops, I think is good. So like I said, I had no idea. I, you know, what would
No.
you, I bought an outfit like 5 years ago. It's made in the
Yeah.
United States. It was a little boutique shop here in Springfield. I paid like $175 for that outfit. That to me is like a ridiculous amount of money, but I'm still wearing it. I am still wearing
Well,
that outfit,
again, that's brilliant.
you know, and
And
I
that is the
will,
best thing that we can do.
but you know that I'm going to say something radical here, but not to you probably, but to maybe some of our listeners. I got something wrong with my eye. Sorry guys, it's sinuses. I was teasing Carol earlier that I was going to tell you guys. Carol made me cry before I started recording. She didn't. That's not true. Carol is a kind, gentle woman. But yeah, so you know, this outfit's got this bright, loud colors. I don't even know if it's in style, but I like it. And so, I will
And,
hear people say, well, I can't do this because it's too expensive. I think another thing too we can touch on if you would like is that I think people tend to purchase a lot of things, whether it's clothes or jewelry or I don't know. I'm not a big buyer of things, so I don't even know what people buy. But I think a lot of it starts when we are not happy with ourselves. So you're going to think, I'm going to buy me a new outfit. I'll feel better
Yeah,
for those
I
that half an
agree.
hour
And
with
for
that
those,
new outfit.
I absolutely agree with you, Shelley. It's very true that we use shopping to cover up other things that we're not happy about in our lives. And that may be ourselves, but it can also be that we're having a hard time. We're going through problems as well. So we do use shopping as a crutch, if you like. And when we do go and get that lovely new item, then we get that hit of dopamine, the feel good molecule. Makes us feel good, and you quite rightly say it then it then wears off. In order to get another hit, you have to, it's like drugs, you have to keep on doing it. And so it's not a healthy environment to be in. And I think what's really important is, you're right, is to get comfortable with ourselves. And I don't know whether we touched on this in the last episode that we recorded together, but I think it's just important to note that it's one of the big problems we have in a society today, and I firmly believe this, is we spend too much time worrying about how we look in comparing ourselves to other people within our peer groups, and social media has just fueled that beyond all belief, because we can be constantly online, flicking through images, seeing what other people are doing. Oh God, they're having an amazing time. They look so happy. They look so wonderful. Blah 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 blah. But all you're seeing is a snapshot they want you to see. You're not seeing their bed hair, their less glamorous moments, all the rest of it. You're just seeing what they want you to see. But the trouble is, we then start see constant images like that. It starts to erode our own self-confidence, and it becomes a destructive cycle.
So it's just a cycle that we're in. And so these I don't want to say fashion designers, but these companies are going to give us what we want. If they know that we're going to get a new outfit every month or week or however people do that, because it does make us feel good, they're going to give us what we want.
Of course they are.
We've asked for it. Maybe not literally,
Well,
but our actions have
no,
said.
I. Yeah, and I agree with you, but this is also kind of goes, what, the chicken and then the egg. Where did it start? If it hadn't been available, if they hadn't come up with the concept, then we'd have carried on doing what we were doing. The fact that they made it available and put it as an idea, look, we can get fashion from design to store in 14 days, then we've kind of gone, oh, that's a bright shiny new object, and we've hit on it, and we've gone, yes, we like that. So it's fueled the fire, hasn't it? It's like pouring petrol on the fire. So I totally agree with you, but your approach in terms of buying something that you thought at the time was expensive, $175 outfit, it's great, because you've got the wear out of it. You've had it for 5 years. If you were to add up how many times you'd actually worn it, the cost per wear, as we call it, would have been very low. And you wouldn't have spent $175, I'm guessing, on something that you didn't really love and didn't look great
No,
on you. No.
I am cheap, Carol. I am frugal. So,
So it's a great investment, isn't it? And when you put on clothes, and this is the other thing that the argument I have about fast fashion as well, when you put on clothes, quality clothes that make you feel good, you stand differently, you hold yourself differently, as opposed to putting something on that's made from cheap fabric, isn't very well made, you washed it a couple of times, and it's It doesn't look that great anymore. So from that point of view, you're going to feel much better and feel more confident if you're wearing quality clothes.
So
And although you might be making more of an investment up front, overall you're not. You know, if you look at, as I said, you look at that lifetime wear.
Yeah, exactly. So I know you work with women and helping them dress themselves. So a couple of things. What can we do, the women who are listening to my podcast, can we do as individuals to cr just to create this better world? Start, you know, I don't even know how to say this. I think you know what I'm asking, Carol, but how can we as
Yeah, I think
individuals affect this fast fashion environment?
well, stop buying fast fashion is obviously the easiest. And people will say to me, well, we still need new clothes, but take a more quality type approach. I'm sure it was the same when you were younger, that you didn't have credit cards, did you? You saved up and you bought something when you could afford it. But again, with credit and ready credit, we've got out of that habit. So buying less clothes, also taking some time to plan out your wardrobe as well, and to actually make sure that you're making good use of your wardrobe. One quick tip that we could do straight away from today would be, if you put all your hangers in one direction in the wardrobe, hopefully they are anyway in your wardrobe, but when you've worn something, turn it round so the hanger is hanging the other way round, and then notice whether you've got gaps where you've still got stuff that you haven't worn. And so again, you get a concept of clothes that you're just not wearing, so you don't actually need so many clothes.
I
So
think
that's another, that's really quick tip.
that might be a real
The
wake-up
other
call for
thing,
people.
I think it would just do it for, you do it for 2 weeks, a month. Probably best to do it for a month and just see how you get on. The other thing we should be doing is washing our clothes less. Most of us, we find that we stick stuff in the laundry too often. There are stuff, obviously active wear, underwear, stuff like that, that needs washing on, you know, on an as worn basis. But you don't need to wash a pair of jeans every time you wear them. And so wash less, wash on lower temperatures, and wash more carefully as well. I don't know about you, but I've had the odd washing disaster where you've gone and thrown everything in because you're in a rush, and suddenly realize that your lovely white top has come out. Oh, it shouldn't really have come out that
Exactly. My friend
So we
Angie,
could.
oh, sorry. Well, I was just gonna,
No, please carry on.
yeah, there, I think there's a lag here because we keep interrupting each other. I think Angelique and I have this, my friend Angelique, I'm gonna call her out here. We have this thing called chair clothes. So like if I wear a pair of jeans out, like I did yesterday to go make a bank deposit, I take them off and I throw them on my chair because they're not dirty. And so we'll tease each other like, these are my chair clothes. You know, these are clothes that don't need to be washed because I've worn them for 10 minutes. You know, so I just threw them on the chair. So.
Absolutely. So we need to get into better habits with that. Wash at lower temperatures, as I say. If you're washing dark jeans or dark trousers, always turn them in, inside out as well, so that that preserves the color. We can also use what's called a guppy friend. I believe they must be available in the US because they were actually they're an offshoot of Patagonia, so they're like a nylon bag. You might put smalls in, but they are actually, the mesh is so fine that it actually traps the micro fibers from synthetic clothes. So you can pop those in your washing machine. It also makes sorting the wash a lot easier as well when you've got those. Consider switching to better quality, environmentally friendly detergents as well. There are some good ones about that don't have so many chemicals in them, that are not, you know, that are not great for the environment, but also not great for your clothes either.
Yeah.
Stop using fabric conditioner.
Yeah.
Fabric conditioner actually coats the clothes with like a waxy film. We don't even, but it means that the clothes break down quicker, and also they absorb odors more quickly as well. Yeah. So particularly with active wear, if you use fabric conditioner with active wear, you get that awful bacteria smell that starts building up in them. So those are just some of the simple things that we can do from today without having to change our habits in terms of buying and using clothes. Really easy things to do. And if you're bored with your clothes, which I think, you know, we all get to that stage occasionally, try just setting aside a couple of hours to play with your clothes, playing with them, putting different things, matching a different top with a different pair of trousers, matching a different necklace, just trying different colours, and see what many more outfits you can actually create in your wardrobe with the existing clothes without having to go out and buy new clothes.
That's a good idea. And I know that's what you help women with. Before we chat about that, I also want to say that I find when I buy more expensive clothes to me, I take better care of them. You know, like I have a pair, I don't wear a lot of jeans, but I went and bought, and I'm tall, so it's always going to cost me more because I've got to pay for that extra bit of fabric for some reason. So I went and bought a pair of jeans, 3 years ago for like $104. At the time I was like, oh my gosh. But I find also I'm careful with them because I've spent a lot of money on these things. To me, that's a lot of money. I don't know if other people think that way, but I have found the more money I spend on my clothes, the better I will take care of them. I'm not as willy-nilly with them. So I agree with you.
I think there is a psychology there, isn't there? Yeah. That you've paid more money out for, so you are going to be more careful with them than you would for a pair of jeans that maybe cost you $20.
Yeah, absolutely. But then again, I'm the type of person, when I used to go to the office, I was the type of person, I wore the same 5 outfits every week. I mean, I was like Steve Jobs. I just don't have a lot of clothes. I'm just not that type of person. Now, that's not to say I don't have a lot of other things that I like. I probably need to purge. But so you work with women to help them not only understand about sustainability in their clothing and fashion, but also how to create a wardrobe that they're going to be happy with and not always having to go out and purchase things. Where can women find you? And you've got a new project coming up, so you need to tell us about that as well.
I have got a new project coming up. So really exciting. I am starting and launching a membership site this year, which will, I'm launching that in March. The best place to come over and find me on that is to join my Facebook group, Awesome Women with Style. And they're going to be the first ladies to find out about the membership. And you can also find out information about me on my website, which is carolahanson.com. And you can catch me over there as well. So yes, I'm setting up a membership site, which is going to be a monthly membership for women who want to make better use of their wardrobes. One of the main things that I found from the research that I've been doing is that many women, probably around our age or so, they want to look stylish. They don't want to look old fashioned or frumpy, as we call it here in the UK, but they don't want to dress too young either. So there's a bit of a dilemma about how they do that. Also, they're not quite sure what suits them, you know, with body shape changes that we go through with the menopause, and also with all we've been through in the last year, where some people have put on weight during lockdowns and stuff like that. They're really not sure what suits them anymore, what works for them. But they want to dress confidently. So we're going to be talking lots about that. We're going to have ideas for seasonal wardrobes, how to make more of certain items of clothing. Then we're also going to be having a number of guest speakers coming in as well, talking about different aspects. I've on a call just before we jumped on this, where I'm going to be working with a lovely lady whose business is repurposing clothes. So she's going to give us some great inspiration about how we can make things from our existing clothes. Take, for example, you know, you've got a top that maybe is a bit too snug around your waistline anymore, but you don't want to get rid of that top. Well, she's going to show us how to open up the side panels, put an extra panel in there very simply, so you don't have to have amazing sewing skills, and basically remake that top for yourself. So you've got a brand new top without having to go out and buy anything.
I love it. That is seriously, the thing that impresses, one of the reasons I just love you so much, Carol, is that not only do you help women, you know, feel better and look better and be more confident, I guess I should say, is that you have a true understanding about what happens behind all of that. And I think we talked about this last time in our interview, is that you're just not out to make, you're really mission driven. You're mission driven in the fact that you want to not change the world while you help women feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
So I really admire that in you. I really do.
Thank you. Yeah, it is, because it's all about making, to me, it's all about feeling confident, which is so empowering. It helps you to lead a better life. It helps you, you know, as women, we are givers. We're natural givers, aren't we? But you can't give if you don't feel good about yourself. You know, you deplete yourself too much. Mm-hmm. And so that's the big reason behind why I do what I do, is so that it kind of raises a community up, which is why I'm really excited about starting a membership, so I can build a community up with that.
I love it. And you're going to come back in March, I believe, and we're going to do a live in the group on eating disorders.
Yeah.
Correct. So that'll be good too. Any parting words of wisdom for us before we end our chat here?
One of my big tips is, one of the things I love people to do is go and find your favorite outfit, get it out of your wardrobe, and work out what makes it really special. Is it the colors? Is it the cut? Is it the compliments you get when you're wearing it? Is it just the style? And try not to have a whole wardrobe that looks like that, but recognize what those elements are so that you can start to replicate that through your wardrobe as well, as you're putting outfits together. Yeah, you know, that's just one that I like to do, because we don't focus on the stuff that we love. We're too busy focusing on stuff we're not keen on, and we don't like about ourselves or whatever, aren't we? We're just so good at doing that, and it's just such rubbish.
It's a great skill we have. One of our many great skills we have. Yeah, exactly. So thank you, Carol. I loved our conversation. And we'll be talking again later.